you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. We're going to cease reading and I want to focus in on these verses and we're just going to kind of pick it apart for a moment and then try to preach from just a short time tonight. You know, the Apostle Paul was a great, you might say, mentor. He was one that he was a blessing to Timothy, no doubt, in many ways. And you find him repeatedly telling Timothy to look to the Word. Look to the Word of God. Timothy, you preach. When it's popular, when it's not popular, when it's in season, when it's out of season, you preach the Word of God as God would move your heart. And he mentions several times that, you know, there's those old wives' tales, old wives' fables. He mentions here profane things. And he says, you know, profane and vain babblings. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called. You think about profane. That word profane means to abuse something that is sacred. And what is that that's sacred? You know, I believe it's this here. And he's saying, make sure that you stay away from those that you would deny them or stay away or make sure that you're not doing things that would be profane. Don't treat God's Word, this sacred Word, with abuse or with a lack of reverence. Don't treat God's Word with contempt. And then he says, our vain babblings. Think about vain babblings, that's just foolishness. Don't get caught up in foolishness. The word vain babblings, it means to talk idly. It means irrationally, excessively, or foolishly. So Timothy, you make sure that whenever you take the Word of God, that it is reverenced highly, and that you don't talk idly, and you don't speak irrationally, you don't speak foolishly in any kind of way, and you avoid that kind of thing. And then he says, and avoid oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Avoid anything that doesn't give reverence to God. Avoid anything that doesn't give reverence to God's Word. Avoid even science that goes against the Word of God. Now, there's not many people today that's telling others that they need to avoid science. That's not exactly what I'm doing here tonight, but to avoid false science. And there's plenty of that out there, and yet nobody said you need to avoid it. Nobody said avoid things that fail to reverence God. Nobody's saying, you don't see it on the news channels, you need to avoid speech that is idle or foolish. And yet tonight I'm here to remind us of something that is very simple. And just for a few minutes, you know, God's Word reigns supreme over all things, including the science of men. Including. I know there'll be plenty argue with me on that in this world that we live in. But it's the truth. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. You know, evolution started as a hypothesis, an educated guess. And when it was first taught, that's how it was taught, is this is some man's best guess apart from creation. And it was looked at as being very foolish. And, you know, there's a lot of parents that were upset about it. And they, during the time when the school would teach evolution, they would pull their kids out of the school and wouldn't let them go to school. And little by little, it's becoming more and more mandatory. And they no longer teach it as a guess anymore. Without any kind of evidence whatsoever to back up their claim, they teach it as the truth. Paul said to Timothy, of course, God's Word saying to us, you avoid that. You avoid anything that teaches against Scripture. Now, you know, I think about how the young people today, you young people, you need to be aware of how saturated our culture is with oppositions of science, with false science. You know, you take something as simple as a kid's cartoon, say a cartoon or a TV show about dinosaurs, and the first thing that they do to start it off is indoctrinate these young people about 60 million or billion years of evolution. 60 billion years of evolution. You can turn on a nature show, Discovery Channel, or whatever channel shows that stuff now with all the animals on it, and you can turn that on and you hear whoever's doing the speaking and say, you know, here lies our ancestors, and they'll show monkeys, apes, swinging from the vines over in Asia and Africa, that's our ancestors come from these apes. Brother Adam, they don't teach that as a guess. They don't teach it as a joke. This is the truth. This is scientific. It is the truth. And you need to accept that. And what once was just a foolish, idle talk has now become the truth in this old world, even though it is a lie. You know, a large portion of young people's grades in school now, at least in a couple of grades, is that they have to study evolution. And where you might say, well, just let them take a zero on that test and move on. Now it's a large portion of their grade. They could fail the whole entire grade because of, you know, failing that. And yet, I want to encourage you, you know, we can avoid something even in the midst of it, can't we? You know, the Lord told us we had to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. And yet He said, but avoid it. Be different. Be separate from it. And we can do the same thing. We can be separate from that without, you know, at the same time, even though maybe it's all around us, we can avoid it. And I just want to remind especially the young people here tonight, you avoid it with all your heart. Anything that profanes the Word of God, anything that does not reverence God's Word, do away with it. You know, roles have been reversed now. Once upon a time, they did really tried hard to try to prove evolution right out and all these other scientific things. They tried real hard to prove their ideas and their hypothesis, but now they don't even have to do that anymore. Our young people, they leave school, high school, and they go on to college, and these things are being told as the truth, and if you oppose that, oh, I'm a Christian, I don't believe that, then you are forced to prove what you believe. And many times, it's very brutal, brutal stuff that they do. If you're a Christian, oh my goodness, you mocked and ridiculed and put down on. You can't prove what you believe. But you know, they take God's Word, they say, well, you can't use this as your basis, then we don't have a lot to stand on if we don't have God's Word. So we need to understand this, that not everybody's ever going to accept this. And they don't have to. The world does not have to accept this for me to accept. The world does not have to accept this for you to accept it. And even if we all decide to throw it away, it's still the truth. But these roles have been reversed now. And evolution, they don't have to prove their self anymore. The child of God has to defend themselves against brutal attacks a lot of times. You know, he said avoid. I'm gonna encourage you with this. You be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you, with meekness and with fear. You be ready to give that answer. And it don't matter if people accept it or not. We're not responsible for results. But we are responsible for defending the faith. Now, that being said, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Now, I love science. I love it. As much as you can love something that comes from school. I did. That was the one thing that I really liked a lot. And this is what I believe. There is a true science. There's some laws and there's some truths that scientifically is explained, and it's very, to me, it's very encouraging, because what it does to me is it proves the existence of God. It don't tear it down. It proves. It helps to prove. When you think about the anatomy of a human body or of a plant, and you begin to study all these things that make up life, that says there's a creator. It says exactly the opposite of what many people try to say it does. When you begin to study the things in science, it don't say, my goodness, it's all an accident. It says there has to be a God. Look over at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I love that right there. Let's just back up and emphasize that. The invisible things, what is that? Well, nobody's ever seen God. Faith, what is faith? Faith is evidence. You can't see faith, but it is evidence. And these invisible things, angels, well, I've never seen an angel, but I believe they exist. And he says that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's not like we're trying real hard to make a God. It's not, we're trying real hard to accept something. He says it is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God's eternal power, the Godhead, is clearly seen through the things that we can see through creation. Because they, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You see, it's reading right there. Bible says the fool said in his heart, there's no God. But whenever you get to considering the Creator, he said, all this is seen. The invisible things, that it is clearly seen by the things that you can see. You know what you can do? And I'm glad we don't have to do this. And I'm glad, Brother Jake, I am so glad God gave us His Word pure and undefiled and perfect in every way that we can have the truth, a sure anchor for the soul. But if you took this away from us, we still stand before God without an excuse. Because God is declared by creation. And the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Creation shouts of a Creator. The invisible things of God are seen through the visible things of creation. And he says, because that man decided that their imaginations grew and their foolish hearts were darkened because of sin, they decided, let's snuff out God. And rather than worship God, let's worship ourselves. Now, why in the world would man do that? All right, let's back up and look at this from another angle just a minute. Those that claim they do not believe in God, what do they believe in? They believe in self. They uplift self. They uplift their own cause. They're selfish. So, if we can take God out of our thinking, if we can just decide, you know what, foolishly we think there is no God, well then, there's no one or nothing to hold me accountable anymore. Then I can sin the way that I want to. What's the Bible say in John chapter 3? Men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There's a lot of people in this world that they prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We see things like some of this that he's speaking of here, men with men doing that which is unseemly. Whenever you take God out of the equation, people say, you know what, I can do whatever I want to. In the world without God, there's not much to it, are you? It falls apart. Crumbles. You hear people talking about, oh, how bad the world's getting and how it's crumbling apart. You know why? Because man is trying to remove God. You put God back in, and all of a sudden things get better. That's what we're praying for. That's why we pray, Lord, have mercy on us. You know, we would like to see a little space of reviving. We would like to see God heal this land. Opposition of science shows foolishness in man's corrupt thinking. Not all science, but that science that goes against the Word of God. It shows the desire to move into darkness, to follow our own lust, to explain away God so we can feel better about doing whatever we want to do. Let me ask you this. What is scientific about nothing becoming something? There's nothing scientific about that. There's no way to prove that. In fact, science tells you the opposite. That's not even possible. But somehow it's lifted up and held as the truth. But nothing decided one day to become something. What gave it that power? What gave the nothing power to become something? And once it becomes something, somewhere along the way, it started to live. What gave it that power to start to live? They said, well, it was just one celled amoebas. And well, what gave it life and what gave it that power to live and what gave it the power to evolve? What gave it that power? What's on the other side of the nothing? What was out there at that time? There's nothing scientific about all of this just happening. It just happened. With no reason for it to happen, it just decided to happen this way. And an explosion from nothing evolved into something, and the something decided, as the bang, it threw out some stars and a moon and planets, solar systems. And somewhere along the way, we accidentally discovered life just accidentally happened. And the creature decides to become an ape, decides to become an ape man, decides to become what we are today. And our ancestors are monkeys and apes. Where's the bridge between the two? There's millions of apes and monkeys and stuff. And there's millions, billions of people on this earth. You'd think there'd be at least one that's somewhere in between. But there's not. Brother Brad, you're saying things that we all know. If we all know them, thank the Lord. Let's be assured of it and let's remind ourselves, because it won't be long this stuff will slip up on us. I want you young people to know you are fingerprinted all over by a Creator. His hands are all over you. He's all over us. These oak trees and pine trees are all blooming out. That's not an accident. There had to be a design in that. It had to be. Don't listen to these self-proclaimed wise people. So, Brother Brad, what makes you think I need to listen to you? You don't have to listen to me either. But I tell you what, take this, because it's the only truth. It's true for nothing else is. It's an anchor when there is no anchor. This is God's Word. And it's perfect in every way. So a bunch of smart people try to tear this down. And oh, there must be some errors in it. I want to encourage you to look to God. Pray to God. Ask God to give you some understanding and lead your way. You know, scientists that are truthful, they'll tell you that, yeah, this world may be 60 billion years old, but if you figure in a flood that covered the whole world, then it may be possible that it's only 6,000 years old. Scientists have said that. See, there's no way to figure out what it would be like if there's tons and tons and tons of water all over the world. They don't figure that into their equation because they just say, well, it must not have happened. Those that do, they have to come up with some other conclusion. You know, I mentioned dinosaurs. Job did a good job of telling us all about that, didn't he? The little Leviathan and the behemoth and all of that. And I said, well, they died out 30 billion years ago. But God's Word said they were here in Job's day. 6,000. It might be different than what some of the people say they are. And, you know, you go and find a definition for them. And tell you what, it sounds like some kind of big creature now. Romans 3 verse 4 says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. That goes for all of us. You let God's Word reign supreme. God has allowed us. Brother Brad, I tell you what, you can see the evolution of man. We once were just primitive, and now look at where man is. I'm going to tell you, that's easily explained. God has blessed us to grow in knowledge to grow in technology. There's things that man can do now that just a few years ago you said that's impossible. But it's not because man is something, it's because we serve an awesome God. And I love the saying I heard one preacher's mate one time. He said, the best of man is still man at best. That's where we are. The best that man is still just man at best. And yet God created us all. So tonight, let me say this, and I'll close. You consider your Creator in the days of your youth. You consider your Creator right now. And don't listen to what somebody else may tell you that is apart from God's Word. You consider the Creator. He created you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. If you'll trust Him, He'll save you. Ask for something.